I'm Stephanie Beaumont, and this is CNB Seen and Heard, rolling through our eighth season of celebrating the four Atlantic provinces here on Cove FM, where with each broadcast, I want to bring you just a little bit closer to some of the amazing personalities that make up this corner of the planet. They may be native to Nova Scotia or New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island or Newfoundland and Labrador, or they may be kindred spirits who simply adore living and working in Atlantic Canada. The only requirement here is that you're willing to raise the fun flag and wave it in salute of Canada's awesome East Coast. And our chats will be just that. Very conversational, not entirely sensible, and with any luck, totally enjoyable. And I'm here to tell you, there's no finer time to be had than when my talented cousin, Dan Swinimer, makes his annual trek from his West Coast hub to our family's homeland here on Nova Scotia's South Shore, especially when he makes time for my little show to discuss all the amazing things he's got on the go, from writing hit songs for Canadian country's own Tyler Joe Miller and Madeline Merlot and Tony Stevens, to producing a righteous roster of artists for Willing Records, to mixing up some magical tracks for mega award-winning performers like Jess Moskaluk and Chad Brownlee. He's always up to something creative, so you best believe we'll be talking about all of that and then some, including his recent Canadian Country Music Award nominations for Producer of the Year and Recording Studio of the Year for his Manic Down Studios. Plus, we'll play a customized 2026 edition of First Things First, engage in the final countdown, and even spin some of his amazing tracks, including the broadcast radio premiere of his debut solo single, One Thing I Got Right. Oh, it's so cool. So with all that ahead, we best get to it. Here's my sit-down conversation with the one and only Dan Swinimer. Ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to his visit whenever he's here. And just to get him to sit still for an hour is a miracle. He's constantly busy. He's constantly on the go. But right now he's in Nova Scotia and we welcome him with open arms and hopeful hearts. He's Dan Swinimer. How are you now?
This is the only time I get interviewed and they say my name correctly. This is great. This is one of the many benefits of your cousin interviewing you.
There you go. Well, it's always funny to me too, because I see the artists that thank you on Instagram and stuff like that. And to hear Swinimer like out in the wild, like out in BC or down in Nashville, it's such a out of pocket name, first of all.
Phonetically correct, by the way. So if you actually, you know, really, but David Swinimer, I think, really
ruined it for everyone.
Because everyone assumes it's something, you know, that on the eye test, it seems to navigate itself to that.
There you go. But certainly here on the South Shore, a name that we are indeed familiar with. Mm-hmm. And Dan, you've been on the show a good number of times. Did you know that?
I don't know the number,
you're one away from Steak Knives, which is exciting.
Yes, me and Tom Cruise with our Steak Knives.
But what it means is that you've played every game, so I had to come up with something new for you. For the first.
I'm scared and intrigued.
Well, this is always fun. So, Dan, this is First Things First, the Dan Swinimer 2026 edition. No wrong answers. We'll just kick things off with this. So, Dan Swinimer, the first time you were starstruck.
Daryl Sittler, without a question.
Wow. But you would have met him when you were teeny tiny then.
Well, so I met him. My dad ended up becoming friends with him, as you know.
Yes.
And I think your dad also.
Yeah.
But the first time I met him, he was still playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a chance meeting, and I couldn't find my words. And the people around me were like, Dan, say something. And I promise you, I could not come up with a single word.
Wow.
It's hard to speak when your jaw is actually on the floor. And yeah, exactly what you were about to say is so true. I always could find my words. A little more than most.
Well, but still, okay. And that's because you were A, a Leafs fan, and still are.
Yes.
And B, because he'd be the guy on TV that would be scoring the goals.
He was the guy that was in every poster that filled my walls. He was my hero.
Right.
Like I was a hockey player.
Yeah.
Music was my backup plan.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I was going to be an NHL hockey player, and I was going to be Daryl Sittler.
Yes.
I bawled my eyes out when he was traded.
Ugh.
And I did not do well. did not do well.
And now he's a friend.
Yeah.
How extraordinary.
I have to say, though, it's still weird.
Yeah.
Like, I still feel like I stumble on my words when I'm around him.
Oh, gosh.
And I feel like the look in his eye is like, just calm down and take a breath, Dan.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, very good. I was thinking it would be music, but there you have it. Mr. Daryl Suttler. All right. And I would imagine you're not alone. Dan Swinimer, this is our second question. And first things first, the 2026 edition. Dan Swinimer, the first place of your own. The first home you had, apartment that you walked in, and you were like, this is my place. Where was that?
Well, like, does it count if it's my place shared with seven people? Like, I've never lived alone.
Is that true?
Yeah, I've never lived completely alone.
Wow.
But I lived, when I went to Western.
Yes.
Which we both went to Western.
Right.
I lived in residence, so you're sharing that with a great many people.
What residence were you in?
Westminster College.
Okay.
And then the first year after residence, I lived in a house with seven guys. Seven of my closest friends.
Yes, and no parties. Probably
zero
pretty.
Zero parties. We are all too busy studying.
Sure, of course. So.
So that would be the first. We had our own house. I had my own bedroom, and I was 3.5 hour drive from any parental
oversight. Oh my gosh.
And I feel like I was lucky to somehow manage to survive that.
Oh my gosh. Well, we all are, right? And thankful that there weren't cell phones, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
I can't speak for myself.
Parents are can see where their kid
is
at all times.
Shocking. Oh
terrifying.
My God. And they have these trackers now.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No.
I wouldn't have done well.
I mean, I like
Aunt Marg, my mom, was like a fiend on the answering machine. Anyway, it's not about me. Dan Swinimer, let's move on now to our third question. And first things first, the 2026 edition, your first trip overseas.
That would have been, and again, because you're family, you probably know a name, Gerald Prinzhorn, who lived with us for a period of time.
That's right.
We went as a family to visit him in Austria.
Oh, Austria.
In Austria, yeah. And we did a little bit of time in Italy. We did a little bit of time in, there was one other spot, but most of it was Austria.
Are you a good traveler, Dan?
I am now.
I mean, you're on the road.
I'm an expert
so
traveler,
much.
I
you're
would
an expert.
Say.
Are and you I, a carry-on guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Never check baggage.
Never. Okay. Unless I'm traveling with my wife, and it's still not mine. She will go away for a weekend, and I'll have my carry-on, and she will have her checked bag.
Well, because you never know what's going to happen, and she's super stylish, Elena. Okay. All right. This is our very last question. Dan Swinimer, in First Things First, the 2026 edition. The first time you saw your name credited as producer on an album. Whose album was that?
That would be Madeline Merlot.
Okay.
And it was my first hit song in country music, a song called Sinking Like a Stone.
Oh, good one.
And still maybe my favorite. I was a writer and producer. But the funny part is I didn't want to be the producer. I fancied myself a writer.
Right.
And I worked with Madeline in a development position for years. And then when I felt like she was ready to go, I got her a record deal with Open Road.
Right.
Ron Kitchener.
Yes.
And Ron asked me to produce. And I was like, no way. I want big fancy producers to produce my writing. This is my writing.
Yes.
I want to protect my writing. And he convinced me to do it. I'm glad he did because,
yes.
you know, I would fancy myself more a producer than a writer now.
Right.
But I said no. He had to talk me into it.
Wow. Oh, that's so good. And what a killer song. And he was right to do it because, I mean, I hardly know where to start. But why don't we just start with the fact that you've got another nomination for Canadian Country Music Record Producer of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, does it get old though?
Well, listen, there is an element of always the bridesmaid because, and fair, it's fair because unfortunately or fortunately, however you decide to look at it, the producer of the biggest artist in country music.
Is that how it rolls?
Is also Canadian.
Okay.
But you know what? I am happy to take a backseat to Joey Moy. He should win and likely will. And
we don't know that.
Well,
the awards go in September. Voting is happening now, right?
Are I have to say, Stephanie, if I'm speaking honestly, like yes. I'm very honored to get the nomination. To be nominated.
Well, that's it, right? Like,
it is always an honor. And I had a chance to move to Nashville as a writer.
Yes.
I got a cut with Billy Currington back in the day. Amazing. And then that was my moment when my publisher was like, we want to move you to Nashville. And I chose to stay in Canada. And I do not regret that decision. Okay. I've had a great career, but the opportunity to expand your career increases infinitely when Indeed. You move to Nashville.
Right.
But that being said, I have to say, if I ever won Producer of the Year and Joey Moy was one of the nominees, it would be awfully awkward to go.
Is that true?
It really would be.
Come on.
Because Morgan Wallen is the biggest country star in the world, I would argue. How on earth, you know, with all the things that I do, and I'm really proud of the work that I do, but if Data has anything to do with the decision,
right?
It really, you
still
know,
you're rolling with the big guys,
yeah,
which is awesome. And you're producing music that is extraordinary and with a great spectrum of artists. And before we go too far, you got another nomination for Recording Studio of the Year.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's cool.
I'm actually very proud of that one because I've invested a lot in my studio over the past year and a half. I mean, it's still a home studio.
I have to say how you started, right, Dan?
Well, that used to be one of my big flexes was I'd be, you know, people would say, oh, that song sounds great. Yeah, I did it in my basement. And I would brag about the crappy gear that I would use. And that worked great for a while. It was really fun to let people know. But eventually you just get bored of everything sounding the same and bored of having to scrape by with. So I finally decided I want my speakers to be honest. And my speakers can't be honest if my room is not done properly. And my live room, I have a proper live room.
Oh my
I've invested a lot in my actual facilities. And
now, it's a cool
will
space.
I be upset if my studio wins the CCMA before I do? Maybe a little bit.
No, come on. Well, you
jealous of my
think
studio.
About the hits. And it is a very cool space. And you've been in enough recording studios to know, I would imagine, A, what you like. And B, you're such a hospitable person that the vibe alone, it's got to be warm and welcoming to those artists who sometimes feel nervous, sometimes have been everywhere like you, right? Like that's a cool,
absolutely.
To be at Manic Down Music is cool.
Yeah. And I think there's more opportunity for the artist to have some say in the vibe. Like before it was just big bright lights and either that or no lights at all.
Yep.
So we do have some better lighting. At the heart of it, I believe that the producer creates the vibe and the comfort level. And one of the reasons that I never went out and built a studio off-site is I just want the artist to be able to, like, when you're here, just come in when you're ready to sing.
Right.
And whenever you're ready, we'll do vocals. And then you can come back the next day and we can do more vocals if you want. If there's anything that you didn't like.
Right.
Like, you just make it so easy and so comfortable. You take all of the pressure away.
Right.
And you make sure that artist believes that they deserve success.
Yeah.
And that is, of all the vibe things, the candles and the lighting, making an artist believe that they deserve success is the single most important part of the vibe element of, because then they're confident and you get a swagger that may not be there otherwise.
Now, two questions though. Having it in your home, I could be wrong, but I feel like I know you enough to know that you're probably someone that wouldn't sleep on a track. Like you'd be like, I gotta go finish that. Or I might want to tweak that. Or like, do you find yourself being pulled towards it? Or can you go, I'm done for the day?
So I'm getting better
at
being I'm done for the day.
Okay.
Partly though, the realization that there's certain things that you just can't do with a tired brain or tired ears. And it's happened enough times where, wow, I worked till 3 a.m. and it totally paid off because I nailed it. And then the next morning, I'm just like,
oh no.
Oh, what a mess I made.
Right.
So, you know, I do know myself. And there's certain jobs that, like mindless editing jobs, which I still can't seem to farm out, which I should be.
You know,
there's a lot of things that I should be farming out, but just still feels important. It
still
feels like, you know, editing a vocal, how could I trust someone else to edit the vocal that hopefully is going to stand, you know, the scrutiny of being listened to millions of times
again,
hopefully millions of times.
Yes.
So I still do all my own editing, but a lot of those editing jobs, they are somewhat on the mindless side. So you can kind of do that when your brain is...
Oh my gosh, mindless. Only you would say that they're mindless. Okay. And wait, I knew this hour would fly by. So we're soon going to have to stop down and there's a song I really want to play. But I need to ask you, because it's the second part of my question, having your own studio. Do you have, like, I think of people who have boats, they get two-foot-itis. Like, are you, like, constantly on the lookout for the latest thing? Or have you honed it to a particular, how does it work with producers? Are there bells and whistles that you always want to get? Or how does that work?
Yeah, and a lot of the bells and whistles these days are in the box, so to speak, which is like plugins and software and samples. Like, but, you know, ultimately, like a snare sample, you would think, like the sound of the snare drum is a big part of production. So I like to build my own snare drum. So I'm not just using a drum set or a sample that other people have used. It's kind of a collection of sounds that come together.
Right.
And it's funny because producers do spend a lot of time working on things that no one other than other producers will really appreciate. But those are the kind of tinkering things that are kind of fun. And as much as I say that, I also believe that these small details, they do matter. Maybe the average listener can't put their finger on why.
But they know they love it.
There's just something. Yes. And I think all of these small details are really the difference between what can make a production sound, you know, good, but that sparkle is missing. So I think that's where the sparkle is.
There you go. And we're going to get to all of those sparkly tracks, but I want to head into this first break with your latest release, if you don't mind.
Oh, hey? Wow.
Because, I mean, I remember hearing it for the Surprise. First time and going, well, it's awesome. It's one thing to produce other people, but it's quite another to do yourself.
Yes.
Like, and I can't imagine, knowing you, the labor of love that it must have been to put this track together from conception to... Here you go, everybody. Yeah. Let's have it on the air. And that's one thing I got right. Now, let me ask you the genesis of this whole idea. What happened?
You know what? The genesis of this is kind of like the genesis of how I got into recording in the first place.
Okay.
So way back in my rock days, you know, way in the rearview mirror, I was writing so much music and I was a writer on the music that the band I was playing in at the time.
Yes.
But I was writing so much other music that didn't necessarily suit that band. And I thought they were really neat songs.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want them to just go away into the abyss. So I bought this recording device and started recording all of these songs, like just learning on the fly about production and engineering and all the things
right.
and playing all the instruments because I couldn't afford to hire anyone. And that's how I got into production. Once I recorded 10 of these songs, then I started getting some acoustic shows and I would sell my CDs.
Right.
And then musicians and bands started showing up at these shows, buying the CD, and then asking
Amazing.
If I would record for them. So
right.
with this, one thing I got right was a song that I wrote ages ago, and I just liked it. And,
yeah.
and no one ever recorded it. And I thought, well, I want to do something with it.
Right.
So I recorded it, and I showed it to, like, I'm working with a record label, Bobby Wills
yes.
record label, Willing Records.
Willing Records, cool.
And
love the hat.
Yes, thank you. I'm always repping, but it's not so much that. It's I just love the hat. So I'm going to do, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 a year.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, so it was really fun. And Bobby at Willing had said, we'll just release it around the CCMAs last year.
Yes.
And I wasn't expecting to get like editorial playlists or anything because it was a really quiet release. We were just kind of throwing it out there. It was
yeah.
more for me than for anyone. And then I had people like one night on the Saturday night of the CCMAs, is this you? Like,
yeah,
because I was on a couple of like Canada Country and a few of these playlists
right.
on Apple Music and Spotify. And I was like, holy cow, which was really fun because
so
I was mostly,
cool.
I was more getting made fun of than,
no,
these are my colleagues.
Yes,
right?
of
so
course.
they're just having fun with it.
And
it
a
was,
super
it
cool
was a
picture. And sounds fantastic. I can't wait for everyone here on Cove FM to listen to this one. It's our guest today. He's Dan Swinmer. So this is a worldwide radio premiere. Am I right about that?
We didn't even release it to radio. So
not one
station has played it
well,
other than satellite radio. That's the only, and that's not the same.
No, so this will be on 88.7 Cove FM here
the
along
one
the
and
Shore.
Only spin.
Unreal, I cannot wait. Well, we'll get more demand for it. But right now on Cove FM, here's One Thing I Got Right by Dan Swinmer.
One thing I'm far from perfect. Just off the top of my head, I can list 100 dumb things I've done since I woke up today. Alarm set for 8, but to tell the truth, it was 12:30. Still hitting that snooze. I might be rough around my edges, a little loose with my finances. I like that groove when I get dancing, dancing, dancing. Ooh, open my mouth when I should say nothing. Got regrets, but right now I'm buzzing, 'cause I can't go wrong. Kiss all night, shit, you know that I'm so down with it. The little dress you wear, running my fingers through your long blonde hair. I could stare at your eyes forever. Girl, it don't get no better. I might be rough around my edges, a little loose with my finances. I like that groove when I get dancing, dancing, dancing. Ooh, open my mouth when I should say nothing. Regrets, but right now I'm buzzing, 'cause I can't go wrong, 'cause I made your mind, and that's one thing I got right. Oh, I got right. I just don't get how a guy like me gets something so pretty, so dancing. Ooh, open my mouth when I should say nothing. Got regrets, but right now I'm buzzing, 'cause I can't go wrong, 'cause I made your mind, and that's one thing I got right. Oh, I got right. I just don't get. As good as it gets. Some days all the pieces fit. Sometimes there's a fire in your kiss. Some days your name's from goodbye, and you get that look in your eye when you just want a reason to quit. If somebody hurts you, baby, well, don't make me pay the price. It's black or white, day or night, yes or no, I'll make it easy. Love me or leave me, come on, I don't care who he was, this is us. If you really want me, I'll make it easy. Love me or leave me. Be all the way in. If you're gonna be halfway out, I want your everything now. 'Cause I'm gonna be all that you need. Ain't nobody gonna love you like me. I ain't gonna let you down. You've got a choice to make. It's black or white, day or night, yes or no.
treat you right. It's black or white, day or night, yes or no, I'll make it easy. Love me or leave me, come on. I don't care who he was, this is us. If you really want me, baby, it's easy. Love me or leave me. Love me or leave me, yeah, yeah.
Love me or leave me.
Here on Cove FM, that's Canadian country music award-winning artist Chad Brownlee. And if that song sounds a little bit cooler than the first time you heard it, that's because it is a remix done by our guest today. That song is Love Me or Leave Me by Chad Brownlee. But that version was produced and reimagined by Dan Swinimer. And now, is the reimagining of all of Chad's work? How did it work?
So I was working with an MDM artist named David James for a long time. And Mike Denny asked me to do an acoustic version of a couple of the songs I had produced.
Yeah.
And he loved them. And on a couple of them, they were like, I think we like this better than the original, which I had done the original too. So it was kind of a pat on the back and a kick in the butt at the same time. But they asked me to reimagine all of Jess Moskowitz's hits.
What?
And that was exciting, daunting.
Yeah.
Like, how do you take these iconic songs and do anything to them? Like, they're just so well done. And many of them were produced by a good friend of mine, Mitch Merritt, who was with MDM as well. But that was a really fun project. And Jess is just...
Just
the absolute sweetest. So after I finished the Jess versions, they asked me to do the same with Chad Brownlee's catalog, which, again, these are iconic songs.
Like, what do you do, though, at that part, Dan? Do you just steer clear completely of the originals?
Yes.
Okay, that's probably the smartest,
totally
right?
Impossible, because I've heard the originals, but I haven't heard them in a while.
Okay.
I get all the stems, and I mute everything except
Define
for the vocal.
Stem.
So stems are... Like the vocals, all the different parts, I have them as separate audio files.
So you're remixing those original files?
Unless I want to add something.
Okay.
And originally it was supposed to be that, but of course I get going and I end up redoing a lot of the stuff. And just because I'll have a vision for what I want to do, and none of the files that I have support that new vision.
Some of your own flavor.
Yeah. So I start off by only listening to the vocal with nothing else. Then I start going through one at a time. I don't want to hear everything together because, you know, they're expecting something different.
Right.
So, and then I just... Like, for me, all my productions start from the groove out.
Okay.
I've always had it in my head that if they're tapping their feet, if their head's bobbing, you got them. And it doesn't have to be a deep groove. It doesn't have to be a big, heavy groove.
Yeah.
But it has to be something that at some point I like to capture my listener with groove.
Right.
So, I'll tell you, it's inspiring listening to these vocals.
I bet.
Like a Jess Moskowitz or a Chad Brown.
Just to hear them isolated.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's been a real honor to work with these iconic songs.
That's so great.
And it's terrifying every time I think I've got an idea. Usually I work on a production very independently, but with these... I've send them to Chad or Jess and the label to make sure guys, like, and I'm always sheepish. I'm like, what do you think?
Wow. And, there's like almost 300,000 streams of this Love It or Leave It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, considering that it's a reimagined track, it's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. And even with the Jess Cheap Wine and Cigarettes, like, stations were spinning this new version of it. And same with a couple of the Chad Brownlee ones. Love Me or Leave Me was one. And they're really nice people too.
Yeah.
And
oh my gosh. Yeah. So you don't mind that.
And very open. Like, right. they you need to be open when your babies are being reworked like this. So.
But it's exciting for them, too, I would imagine. Now, because, you know, you think about when it comes to an artist performing, the fans want to hear the hits, right?
Absolutely.
And a lot of times artists will be so super keen to play their latest single or to play something they're working on. But the fans are there for cheap wine and cigarettes Love Me or Leave Me. So super cool. Okay. Now you talk about groove. Dan Swinmer, let me put you on the spot right now. What song are you just loving? Like, what song have you just heard recently by anybody in any genre that's you've just been like, holy God, that's good.
Okay. So this is kind of wild. I'm going to probably say the name wrong.
That's okay.
But it's this new band from Quebec.
Oh.
You may have heard of them.
How did you hear them?
They just showed up on my algorithm one day. I'm going to say it's Angine de Poitiers. But I don't think I've ever heard anyone say the name. Have you heard of this?
No.
Have you seen this? These guys?
Oh my goodness.
And it is the most... So this is the secret that a lot of...
I'm going to just play a little sound clip of them right now so people know.
It's called microtonal music.
Okay.
And it's because there's twice as many frets, so the notes are broken down more than just semitones, which is what is standard. And it's wildly creative.
Wow.
And somehow, like, it's so weird. It's the weirdest thing you've ever heard. There's not really singing.
Okay.
But they're blowing up. Like, they're...
Wow.
But I found them long before. Like, I was sending this... And I don't really do that much anymore.
Right.
But I was so blown away by just how wildly creative, unique, and original. And this is the dirty little secret of us producers who are producing, you know, mainstream commercial music that is very accessible to all different kinds of tastes. The stuff that we listen to behind the scenes is so weird.
Come on.
It really is.
Well, just keep your ears fresh probably too,
it,
right?
It is. And it's important that I listen to things that are popular as well. But this is the craziest part is I was working on a couple of projects.
Yes.
And no matter how much success you've had, you go through stretches where you're creative and other stretches where you're struggling to find it. It's a skill that you can't work harder if you're not if your brain's not giving it to you.
Yep.
There's nothing you can do really.
Yep.
So I was going through one of these stretches at a moment when I was listening to this stuff every day, and I literally stopped listening to it because I thought it was pulling me away from any instincts I might have in the commercial mainstream realm.
Wow.
And I don't know if it worked. You know, you always get out of these troughs, creative troughs, but I had to stop listening to this crazy band. This is really weird music.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Now, so here's the other side of it. You've got any number of artists right now. Like, how many people are you working with at the minute, Dan?
Oh, wow. I would guess probably seven right
now.
Seven
artists.
Yeah.
Okay, that you're producing, that you've co-written with, but you're doing co-writing sessions beyond the seven artists.
Yeah, I'm writing a lot less.
Generally
speaking,
there's no time.
There's not a lot of time, and production is full-time just to stay on top of the sounds and even the technology. But I do write. Like, a lot of times if I'm working with an artist and we just don't feel like we have the songs, that's generally speaking when I'll jump in on the writing and see if I can get the song quality to where we feel it needs to be. But it's funny, like I used to write on my own, but I just don't anymore. So I would say, you know, my skill set as a writer has evolved a little bit. The one thing that gets better the more you produce is your filter for understanding when it's good enough.
Right.
And we talked about Joey Moy earlier, and I remember he said, I'm in writing sessions, and he said, I don't know how much I bring to the table actually as a writer, but the one thing, it wasn't actually him that was saying, it was someone else that was saying, like, whether he brings a lot of ideas as a writer to the table, he's so valuable because he, more than anyone else, knows when it's a hit.
Right.
And that's a valuable tool in the studio. It just, you know, as a writer, you just keep coming up with ideas until it, for someone to be able to definitively say, or more definitively than most, that's it.
That's
great. Then that's valuable.
I always think I can hear Radio Gold. Like, you know when you hear it, right?
Yeah.
It's just that magic. You're just like, oh my God. And a song can sound sonically fantastic, The lyrics can move you, but it's not a hit, right?
And for most producers, because we listen to such weird stuff and we're inspired by so different things than what we're working on,
yeah.
we have to learn to listen to it from someone else's standpoint.
Right.
Because if I'm listening to it and producing it to be something that I personally like,
yeah.
we're in a lot of trouble.
Right. I always remember back in the day, people used to produce it in the studio and then we put it on a cassette and then run out to the car
yes.
and listen to it in the car. Now, what do you do in this day and age of digital, Dan? Is there any sort of...
Still the same.
Okay.
But I print a mix and then I save it to Dropbox and
yeah.
then I plug my phone into the car.
Okay.
Yes.
Because
it's
there's
the
nothing
same idea.
Like that though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's the same idea.
And even hearing the song on the radio for the first time, I always love when you share artists that you're working with and they're like gleeful because
yeah.
they hear their song for the first time. It's just so extraordinary to be a part of that, Dan. That probably never gets old either.
That's why I just love the development side of things. Like, you work so hard. It can be thankless on the development side. And it's, you know, trying to convince an artist, you know, as Bobby Wills always says, the only thing you can do fast in the music business is fail.
Oh, God.
So it requires patience.
Good.
It requires
yeah.
belief, you know, in the process and, you know, having faith that the people that are telling you that it's not ready are, you know,
right.
believe them.
Yes.
But boy, oh boy, when you get it right, there is no
so
feeling
good.
Like it.
So good. Okay, yeah. we've got to stop down for another commercial break. And I asked you how many artists you're working with, which really puts you on the spot because I can only play one going into this next break. Is there a song, and this is, for anyone listening, any of the artists that Dan's working with, this is just arbitrary. Wish you put all their names in a hat.
Well, okay, so of all the artists that I'm working with, oh man, I have to choose a willing artist because
okay.
I work with Willing.
Of course.
And the most current of
yes.
the Willing artists singles is Tony Stevens' Nothing on Me.
Okay.
And we're really excited about this song. It's starting to, you know, we've got a bunch of radio ads and today's ad day, so we're kind of hoping that we
oh
get
oh my
a
gosh,
bunch
that's
more
such
today.
A big time,
it
right?
It's every Tuesday.
Holy.
Yeah, you gotta hold your breath
exciting.
Until 5
and
p.m.
Tony, what a sweet guy.
The
oh
nicest guy you
God.
Will ever
hey.
Find. But we've got so many, like Savannah Jade, MDM just released her current single, and it is one of the most fun songs
wow.
I've ever been a part of called Kiss My Glass.
Come on.
So good. She's
Sassy.
Such a, yeah, she's such a fun artist and she's such a great singer.
Yeah.
The Prairie States are another Willing label that are just killing it right now. Like, they're doing so well. We've got a new Willing artist that's coming, Emma Peterson. We haven't released anything yet, but she's just amazing. There's so many artists that I work with that I'm just in awe that I get to do this.
So you're landing on Tony, though, because...
Well, just because it's the most recent.
Okay, and that seems fair.
Yeah.
You're not... It's not
yeah.
a favorite.
There's no favoritism.
No favoritism.
Whatsoever.
It's chronological. I'll let you introduce it. How about that?
Okay. You are listening to Nothing on Me by Tony Stevens. The Tone Bone.
The Tone Bone. On GoFM. We'll be right back with more The Dance Winner after this.
On my way to pick you up. Bet you're slipping on them blue jeans. Got them 35 shined up. A couple miles left in front of me. Until I pull in your driveway. And you light up that smile, babe. You know I love you in my jet black Chevy with the windows down. Old school petty singing won't back down. You and me, summer breeze rolling in, blowing in your blonde hair. And girl, I swear. Turn every head in this one light town. Tell me where to go and we can roll right now. As long as you're riding on the bench seat, baby, ain't nobody got nothing on me. Got some Kentucky in the glove box. You can hit it if you want to. Stealing kisses every time we stop. Cause I can't get enough of you. You know I love you in my jet black Chevy with the windows down. Old school petty singing won't back down. You and me, summer breeze rolling in, blowing in your blonde hair. And girl, I swear you can turn every head in this one light town. Tell me where to go and we can roll right now. As long as you're riding on the bench seat. Baby, ain't nobody got nothing on me.
just your sets. I know everybody's like, wait a second, that's the music for Soundtrack. But I'm finally in the presence of the man who composed our theme song for my other show here on Pope FM. I always give credit to you absolutely at the end of every Soundtrack broadcast, I say, and our thanks to Manic Down Music for our theme song, and here you are.
Now I'm blushing for the first time in the
interview. So great. Well, I mean, it's a celebration of Dance Swimmer and really all that you do. And I think about the little fellow that was in the basement with his drum kit. You have come a long way.
Yeah.
Hey? And you're still loving it.
I am, and eventually, like, the music part, it can become a job, but the people part never does. And I just have never been in a position in my career where I get to work with people that I, like, the Willing Records team is just everything that I've always wanted to be about in the music business.
So good.
And the artists that we work with through Willing, I'm so lucky to get to work with other outside artists, like the MDM recording artists that I get to work with. Like, it just, I'm at a point in my career that it just feel, everything feels good.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm really grateful to get to do what I do. And you know, the years, I always tell artists that I'm working with, I made all the mistakes you can make so that you don't have to.
Oh, that's good. That's true. And what a change when you really think, I mean, you're not old, but certainly you've seen an evolution of the music industry in the time that you've been a part of it. What's the math on it now, Dan? Like 20 years?
Yeah.
Right?
So 2010, 11 was when I really started. Like, I left the touring scene for good and became mostly producing, writing.
Right.
So whatever the math is on that.
Yeah. That's, so you're bringing some wisdom.
But also, you know, like, ever since 1994, I've been playing in bands that were playing shows and selling CDs. And so it's, you know, and when you say I'm not old, I really appreciate that.
But well, you're always little to me.
Old.
My little cousin Dan.
Yeah. My kids will definitely tell you otherwise.
Come on.
They believe me to be quite ancient.
Do you look at these young artists now and think, oh my God, you got it all ahead of you? Like, everybody seems little to me now. I don't know. But when you were 20, like, again, also, and I will just say this, I don't feel old. Like, but when I was younger and I would look at this age, I'd be like, oh my God, that person's so old. But do you feel old, Dan?
Yes, I feel
old. Oh, you
horrible
do not.
Old.
Stop it. Come on.
Well,
you got it all ahead of you.
It's all the, again, going, hearkening back to my first choice of career, which was hockey. I never met a sport I didn't like. I played them all. I never, being injured never stopped me from playing them. And some of those old sporting injuries are kind of coming back to haunt me a little bit. But
you can still swing a club, though.
I can still swing a club, and I can slice it with the best of them. But I don't feel old in what I'm doing professionally.
Right.
Which happens. Like, if you
take
your foot off the gas at all and don't stay current,
this is it.
It happens like that. And you're the last person to realize that it happened. Not just on the music side either, but, you know, the way that we pick singles has changed. It's everything is data driven. And if you're not paying attention, Bobby is so good at this. He understands, and he's constantly trying to make sure he's understanding how to do it
right
now, how to run a label, how to release music, how to make decisions in today's industry.
Right.
And it's changing by the day.
Yeah.
Like, even terrestrial radio, the room that they have for new music is changing because kids are more and more making their own radio stations with streaming platforms.
Right.
And
I don't want to run out of time before we play our final game, but this is basically our final five questions, Dan Swinimer. And I'm going to put all the links in the show notes so folks can hear all of the amazing artists you're working with. Willing Records has a roster that there's no tomorrow. You're going to give Fabi a hug for
me,
right?
Of course I will.
Okay, listen, Dan, here we go. This is the final countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or how these questions are going to roll.
Okay.
Let me just play the cool music.
It's the final countdown.
Pretty cool to hear that sting again.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while. Okay. Dan Swinimer, give me 5 words to describe Dan Swinimer.
Well, they can only be 5 words.
Just 5 words.
Hyper. enthusiastic.
Yes.
For better or for worse. I don't know. Can I get some help? Can I ask a friend?
Sure, you can call a friend.
Passionate.
Yes. 2 more.
I could be. I have a cynical side. Can I throw that
Come
in?
On.
Only the.
It's a wild card.
It's I'm going to throw that in just because when I get
discerning.
Sure, let's go with that. Because that's a little
takes, more than cynical.
Takes the
edge off of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's a better word for hopeful?
Optimistic.
Optimistic.
Okay. Well, those are great words. All right, here we go.
If not contradictory.
They're great. Okay. Dance when we're in our final countdown. Give me four things I will always find in your fridge.
Beer.
let's get that one. Do you want to give a shout out in case you can get a
I
sponsorship?
Love Blue Buck. Phillips Blue Buck.
What now? What's that?
Phillips Blue Buck is a small beer company in Victoria.
Come on.
I'm surprised you worked in Victoria.
Well, has it been around that long?
It's probably, but it would have been really small. Okay. Like it started off as a
Phillips
very small.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes.
Phillips
now.
Blue Buck.
In case anybody's on the West Coast.
It
All
is.
Right, so we got beer.
Okay, beer. Bubblies.
Just any particular
bubblies.
Flavor.
Well, say raspberry, but
okay.
I love a lot of them.
It's how did they get the flavor in there?
I don't know.
You have a cream soda, and it's like
it's
your
the perfect
like, it's
amount,
crazy.
Though. It's
or great. Root beer? It's
yeah.
bananas.
I know. Well, it's root beer.
It's crazy. Okay, that's two. We need two more things.
Okay. In my fridge.
Yep.
Oh, broccoli.
Okay.
I know that's weird, but I put broccoli. I make a shake every morning, and I put broccoli
okay.
in my shake. Cheese. I love cheese.
That's it. That's four.
I did it?
I want to tell you something. I don't think there's been a guest that hasn't said cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, cheese is it's a staple. I'm sure I'm missing something, but as long as I get
beer
in there,
four.
We're good.
There you go. Okay. Dance when we're in our final countdown. Give me three things that anybody coming to the South Shore of Nova Scotia must do.
Eat Big Red's pizza.
There you go.
Visit Aunt Ray.
Oh, come on. No, we don't want... People won't be storming her door now. Give
That's
me three
true.
Things that the average bear could do.
Okay.
Big Reds they can do, for
big,
sure.
Big Reds for sure.
Reopen a new place in Lunenburg. Did you know that? They closed the
Yes,
old
I heard
Open
that. I
one.
Follow them on Instagram and every
oh,
post they make. I
yeah.
I mean, just learn what peace actually is and tranquility. This
yeah.
area here is one of, it's where I go to recharge my batteries.
Okay.
And it always has been. And one of the first songs I ever wrote was a song called Free. And the execution wasn't great, but
the
intention and the sentiment were very much about what this place means.
So what's that? Is that like a beach? Is that like a trail? Like what, like you said,
it's literally going down in front of Aunt Ray's house and okay. sitting on the beach and just watching the water.
Right.
There's just something. The people here, like if you've never actually been to Nova Scotia, people told me how wonderful the people were in BC, but they're very uptight, actually.
Yeah.
And the people here are just everywhere you go. There's just a warmth.
Right.
And it's in my whole life, my engine depends on coming here. I have to be here. I have to recharge.
We love seeing you. That's
yeah.
for sure. I need one more, Dan. One more thing.
Can I say guts?
A game I have yet to play, but it is okay. It's a card game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Guts.
And it's just been played for generations in this family. I mean, there's so many
like
better
things.
You're
breaking
things,
the rules about three things people must do when they come to Nova Scotia, the South Shore.
Okay, then let me think of something better. Well, just find your way to a boat
yes.
and get out on the water. Like, we're lucky because Adam
right.
has a boat and
yeah.
he always takes us out. But I just love, you know, so many of the things I love here are personal. Like, visiting
yeah.
my relatives
right.
is a big one. But every second that I get to spend on the water here, but I could also say swim with great white sharks because I'm also doing that
right.
in October with my daughter.
Dear
so.
God. Okay. All right. Well, that's four, but we've got to move on now. This is a final countdown. We're on to number two now. Dan, give me two must listen to albums for any aspiring producer.
For any aspiring producer.
That will just give them...
I have so many different, like if it's a producer that wants to become or a writer in particular, I would say almost any Taylor Swift record. Her writing, and say what you want about her in any other capacity, but just strictly her as a writer, she blows my mind almost every song
yeah.
that I hear.
Can you land on one?
Well, I'm a product of the streaming world, so
yes.
I just listen
oh,
to
right.
songs.
And isn't
but
it tricky?
Folklore.
Folklore.
Folklore is amazing. And again, the writing is just breathtaking.
Yeah.
The simplicity and, like, it is just, it's so perfect. You can't find a way to better say the things that she's trying to say and tell her stories. Let's go with something like Gord's Gold. Gordon Lightfoot from my hometown of Aurelia.
Oh my gosh, shout out.
Yeah, I got a shout out, Gord.
Okay.
Because, you know,
he's the ridge. He's the OG, as they say.
He is the OG and a big reason. I could have gone ABBA, too. I thought about ABBA.
Right.
ABBA is where I learned how to write great melodies. But Gord is from Aurelia, so Gord wins.
There you go. All right, very good. All right, Dan, this is, I think, going to be the hardest question I've ever asked or anyone has ever asked you, and you've been interviewed a lot. So the last question in our final countdown. Dan, you have worked with so many artists, so many producers. You've been at radio stations. You've been on TVs. You've been on festival stages. Of all of the people that you've worked with over the two decades plus, give me the name of the one person you would choose to be your partner on Amazing Race.
Amazing Race. Let me think about this. I'm assuming athleticism is very important. I've never seen the show. So
Seen the show. Okay. Well, first of all, you're going all over the world. You're traveling. You're giving challenges. You've got physical strength. You've got mental acuity. You've got to work together as a team. Sometimes you've got to eat bugs. Like, there's all kinds of things, but you're traveling the globe, essentially.
Okay. I have an answer for that.
Okay.
And it is Tony Stevens.
Okay.
And I can tell you why.
Please, Tony Stevens gonna be thrilled.
Is so absurdly positive. It's actually irritating. This is why I joked about the cynical side, because anytime I'm cynical around him,
yes,
he's just like, it's another beautiful day. He's the kind of guy that you want to strangle when you're feeling cynical. And he would be the guy, if we had to eat bugs, he'd be like, they're actually pretty good. They're not that bad. And he's
athletic.
And he's very athletic.
And you travel well. You've done that before, right?
He's a very easy guy to be around.
Oh,
my gosh. He's a lovely human. And again, he's very outdoorsy. So I've always said, if the apocalypse comes, I'm going straight to Tony's house and he'll take care of me, because he can bait a hook. He can do all the things needed. He's very handy around the house.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he would be the all-purpose, and he wouldn't let me turn into a grumpy whatever. Literally eating bugs with a smile on his face.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can see you two trekking up to Phil now. Anyway, Dan, this has been such a treat. I'm so grateful that you made the time during your holiday. It's always so wonderful to see you here on the East Coast. We wish you all the best when you're out on the West Coast and all around the world with your music. Thanks again. We love you.
Thank you so much, Cousin Stephanie. Always a pleasure.
Be sure to follow Dan on Instagram like we do at Dan Swinimer, and keep up with all the label fun at Willing Records. You can find the podcast version of this show, along with all of our other CNB Seen and Heard episodes, available to stream and download now on iTunes via Apple Podcasts. And for all the show notes and links to this broadcast, you can head to my Omni site at stephaniebeaumont.com. There you'll discover our entire catalog of episodes for this show, along with all of our soundtrack episodes too. Thanks to Jason McDonald for our CNB Seen and Heard theme music. Thanks to Dan Swinimer for being my guest. And thanks to you for joining us today. Sure hope you will again next time here on Cove FM. I'm your host, Stephanie Beaumont. Be well till then.